Off the ball. Rugby.
Then all we'll never know until we play. We know on the evidence of play well for your province, play well in Europe, play well in the URC, consistently back it up for a couple, four, five, six matches. And then people go, give him a go.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Brendan Clark, we're here for another year. How many years are we going now?
Since 2003, so what's 25 seasons, I think.
25, unbelievable. And another club ticked off as well, not alone.
I'm not trying to tick them all off, like. But yeah, no, look, it's an exciting prospect, you know, at the club. It's under new ownership. You know, it's they're looking to put plans in place for the next few years and do things right. You know, so yeah, no, it was something once the manager and the chief executive got in touch and went and met with them and like what they had to say and my role in it. So yeah, no, delighted to be here.
They must have been fairly impressive to lure you on for another season.
Look, I was going to play anyway. It wasn't like they were talking me out of retirement. It's another year. It's another one I'm really looking forward to. The body's feeling good. I'm not feeling my age, which everyone keeps asking me about. So, just looking forward to getting the season up and running now at this stage.
You had 20 appearances for Galway last season in the Premier Division. Was it ever a chance you were going to stay on there once Athlone came to you? Was that it? The mind was made up?
No, I think, you know, I think I'd done 3 years in Galway. My own young lad, he'll be 14 now in April. He's starting his own career in the League of Ireland, in the academy. So I think...
Is he a keeper?
He's not. I was very, very firm on that. I think... It comes to a stage where you have to start looking at what he's doing in life and needing me around, kind of stuff like that. He's at that funny age that teenagers get to, you know. So I think three years in Galway was long enough. Delighted. I love my time there. And to be honest, I've never felt relief like I did at the final whistle down in Waterford. No, we hadn't kind of slipped into the playoff place, and we'd stayed in the division. So. Really successful time there, promotion, cup semi-final, and then staying in the division twice was fantastic.
How tough was that last season? Obviously you've been around as a player for so long, you've been involved in relegation battles, but to have the loss of Ollie Horgan thrown into the mix as well, it must have been so tough for everyone involved.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm still shook by it. To be honest, still rattled. Like, you know, I've had to go and, you know, speak to professionals about it. You know, like, we have all these facilities available to us, and I'm obviously happy to avail of them. You know, but you know, in terms of the group, it was a very strange, just a very strange feeling around the place. I think in the end, towards the back end of the season, we kind of got back to what Ollie would have instilled in us, Ollie and John would have instilled in us, and kind of being horrible, being hard to beat, and, you know, then playing football when we could, like, but just being really dogged. And, you know, I like to think we did him proud in the last few weeks that we managed to stay up.
We've heard so many stories throughout the year from Ollie when you used to go up to Finn Harps, and maybe the water might be cold in the dressing room, or the pitch would be let go a bit waterlogged. Was that dark art something that maybe helped you spur you on over the line towards the end?
Yeah, listen, he was obviously a very, very clever manager in terms of using any of the little 1%ers that might give you an advantage over the opposition. I'm not sure he was a qualified plumber to be leaving the cold tower, the showers on, but he was, Ollie's a fantastic, just not even football related, just a fantastic human being, which he broke my heart, he broke everyone's hearts when he sadly passed, like. But like I said, just as a group, we were just delighted to be able to kind of get the job done and stay up, because I know that would have been, he would have hated that, you know, us being relegated and stuff. So just to get that done as a group, and obviously people go, it's football, people go different ways, different directions, but we were there for a short time, he definitely left a mark on many of us.
Pushing into 40 now.
On past 40.
Past 40. Nearly 600 games?
Yeah.
Nearly.
Yeah.
We had Joe Murphy on off the ball yesterday, who's now 44, and he's still kicking a ball at Tranmere. Is it something that you use to your advantage as a keeper? To kind of, you can push the career a little bit longer than maybe an outfield player can?
Well, look, obviously, there's less running, which helps. But look, it's a totally different type of fitness in terms of goalkeeping. And I think it's the way management and stuff has gone now, you know, there's a lot more trust in players to look after themselves just to be ready for a Friday night. So you're not pushing your body to the extreme, where in the past it would have been kind of do as I say, there would have been no kind of communication and stuff. You know, so like managers, especially with myself, getting into my late 30s, have kind of said, listen, if you feel like you need a day off, take it. But I'm not one to be standing around watching training. I can't, you know, even games I'm not involved in, I'm kind of on edge, I need to be involved. So, you know, if I can train, I love training. I love being out on the pitch. I love the Friday nights. I love being under the lights, you know. You know, you can't beat that feeling kind of coming in after a Friday night with a win. So I think as long as I have that within me, and as long as, you know, the body allows me, which it is, you know, age doesn't really matter.
On episode 2 of Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors podcast, the stories behind the transfers that almost happened but just about didn't. Focuses on one of the greatest of all time, Pelé.
Pelé. Baba, back to Pelé. Now what's he going to do? He's got the third! Oh, beautiful goal!
And how the Santos superstar nearly swapped Brazil for Hanover. And how a Nazi ice machine salesman nearly pulled the deal off. Dropping in your OTB football podcast feed this Monday. Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors.
You obviously clearly have that bug for football, and I don't want to preempt any talks of what might happen after, but is that something maybe you're looking into when the time does end to hang up the gloves? Is coaching on the
Yeah, heads? Look, I've done a lot of coaching qualifications. I've done some of my badges, so I'm up to kind of me away for B outfield, and I've done my goalkeeping A, which you can't go any further on that. So to get that done while still playing, you know, was great that I can, I suppose, utilise that in the game, because you see a different side of football when you're learning kind of the thought process behind coaching sessions and etc., you know. So to get that done really early was good. I have a love of sport. I'd love to, you know, when I do finish, to stay in sport in some capacity. So yeah, look, we'll have to see how that goes. But hopefully, it's a few years away.
I was going to say, we spoke so much about the many years you've had, and like, there obviously you have the hunger and the drive and the appetite. What are you expecting for this season ahead with Athlone?
Obviously, last season, I don't want to talk about, you know, being at the club when I wasn't there, you know, and as a new group, we can't be kind of held hostage to the past, you know, of what we were. We need to set our own standards, and really deliver now. You know, we haven't really set goals. We just want to do as well as we can on a Friday night. You know, prepare as professionals. The whole club is changing. The whole mentality around the club will change and is changing. You know, the women are doing a fantastic job on their side of things. You know, winning the double last year, they'll go into the Champions League this year, which is incredible for the town. On the men's side of things, we want to bring that little bit of respect back to the name of Athlone Town from our side of things.
Just finally, you spoke about there about the team that did the double last year on the women's side. Is that something you felt when you walked into the club, about A, the size of the women's, and does it spur on the men's to, you know, drive for even more?
I think, like, we haven't really spoke about it as a men's. Like, we're obviously incredibly aware of what the, I mean, myself as a League of Ireland supporter would be well aware of how well they've done over the last few years. So my own drive is to, you know, not like Champions League is a little bit off for us, but to emulate the respect that they're getting and the goodwill towards, you know, the female side of the club. Well, I'm not saying that the club is not split. It's one club. Let's have that right from the start. But we need to change the perception around the men's team, and we will do that.
Well, Brendan, I wish you all the best of luck for yet another season in the League of Ireland. I'm sure you're looking forward to some of the stick, maybe. I don't know, is there many clubs in the First Division that you've played for before? Maybe if Treaty can count as Limerick. We'll take. Maybe there might be a bit of stick when you go down to Limerick.
Yeah, no, do you know, I had a great time in Limerick. I know a lot of the supporters there who would have transferred over to Treaty from Limerick. And look, I love the stick. The stick is brilliant. Like, it's, I find in games that I hear everything. Like, and I've no problem turning around laughing and having a bit of crack with whatever, you know. Like, it's part of it. I think it's what makes the League of Ireland real. You know, like, you go to the Etihad or Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, 60,000-70,000 people there, whatever. But like, the League of Ireland is just real football, you know. Like, there's no, it's just I don't know. I love it. I've loved it since a kid, and you know, I think I'll always have it. You know.
Can I ask you something quickly on that? You speak about real football. You mentioned specifically Premier League stadiums, and something maybe that they have that we don't is VAR. Would you ever want VAR to come in to Irish football?
I understand that, like, I mean, for things like for our referees in the league to go to their next level and ref in Champions League and stuff, they need to have certain qualifications in use of VAR and within the league. From a football and I suppose supporter point of view, it keeps the football pure, and I mean, human error is part of it, you know, whether it's on the pitch players making mistakes or a referee missing a decision, it's all pure, it's done with the right intent, if you know what I mean. It's never done to kind of screw anyone over. It's just, I don't know, it's just, I mean, where else in the world can you bump into a player in town or, you know, whatever, and the players will stop and talk to you. And I mean, I remember being a kid, 8 and 9, going down to Richmond Park and you're meeting your Trevor Malloy's, your Colin Hawkins and all these guys, and some of them end up being my teammates, you know, like Trevor and Colin and Liam Buckley. I would have watched as a player kind of in the mid-90s when they won the league, 95, 96. He ended up being my manager at Fingal at St. Pat's, and having, you know, so it's a very unique league. And I think the more real we keep it, the more kids we get into the ground, kind of will inspire different generations.
Thanks, Brendan. Best of luck yourselves, not long for the season ahead.
Cheers.